You're watching KCMI TV.
Well, praise the Lord. Let's get into the Word of God today. I want to talk about one of my favorite things, and that is the Word of God. We're going to take our text out of 2 Timothy 3:16, and it says this: all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And so this verse really came up in my spirit in prayer. And so I just want to break it down a little bit today for you. The previous verse here, Paul's writing, he's obviously writing to Timothy, and he wrote a couple of letters to Timothy. But he tells Timothy in verse 15, he said, the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise. And so there is tremendous benefit to the word of the Lord. And so our text today that we read, it starts out, it says all Scripture. And right now, the word of God is under attack. There's tremendous amount of effort to discredit it. There are mainline denominations. I've met ministers who have decided that just parts of it are inspired and that not all of it is inspired by God. And so there's a lot of people that want to just extract from the Bible certain verses or certain principles and say, well, those are the ones that we need. But that's not true. All Scripture, not just part of it, every word in this book says is inspired by God. And that word inspired literally means it's been divinely divinely breathed or God breathed. It literally means the wind of God. And so man, you know, there's attack on the word because people say, well, it's 66 books and it has multiple authors and the languages that are written in are different and it's done through different cultures and King James wasn't a Christian, and they come up with all of these different explanations on why the Word of God is not inspired. It's not divine in its origin. But for you to survive in the Lord, you've got to settle this, that every word of this book has been inspired by God. And I this is how I choose to believe. I know that different writers wrote it, and I know that there are different approaches to it. But at the end of the day, I just believe that God inspired every single word of the Lord that has been written on the pages. And so there are four categories that I want to break down today, but he writes here, he says, all Scripture has been given by the inspiration of God. Every bit of it's been inspired or God-breathed. And he said, first of all, he said, it's profitable. And boy, this is so true. It is profitable. That literally means it gives you an advantage. And an advantage means, let's say, in a race. If you have an advantage, it means that you have something that your opponent does not have. So in light of the fact that we are dealing with our race with God, our battle to defeat the devil, that one scripture says that we don't want the enemy to get an unfair advantage of us. And so the Bible, when you have this word in you, it's going to give you an advantage over your enemy. So now let's talk about the four things that Paul is writing here to Timothy. And he said, these are the four things that are profitable to you from the Word of God. He says the Word of God's going to do four things. First of all, he said, it's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is the foundation of our faith. And it is not tradition. It's not opinion. It's not based on culture. Doctrine is, it's settled, all right? It's not style. It's not, well, we're Pentecostal, so we do it this way. We're Lutheran, no, we do it this way. We're Baptist. Doctrine is forever settled. It's not to be interpreted by men. Doctrine is the rebar. It is the foundation of our walk with God. And it's sad to see today, but lots of Christians, when you talk to them and you ask them what they believe, they'll say, well, I don't really know what I believe. Or you ask them, why do you believe that? Well, I don't know why I believe that. They don't have doctrine. And doctrine is your foundation. It doesn't matter if you're a teacher or a truck driver or a student or a retired elderly person or you own a business or you're a preacher. You have to have doctrine. In other words, you have to have a foundation on why you believe what you believe, because if you don't, the enemy's going to come in and he's going to rattle your cage and he's going to get you to be moved from where you are because you are not rooted and grounded in the word of the Lord. And so there are some things. You say, well, what is doctrine? The deity of Christ is doctrine. That's not, you can't challenge that. That's not interpretive. You say, well, we believe in Allah and we believe in Muhammad and we believe in Buddha and, well, we as Christians. No. Doctrine is that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. Baptism is a doctrine. Repentance is a doctrine. These are the pillars of our faith. So we don't get to interpret them and put our take on it. Well, this is how I like to do it. These things are forever settled. Second thing that he says is profitable for us in the Word of God is, this is one of the things the Word does, reproof. And none of us like the word reproof. As humans, we don't want to be told we're wrong. It just, you know, it messes with us. And reproof is, first of all, it's conviction. If you asked me, what is one of the top three probably things that you possess in your life, in your walk with God? For me personally, I would say conviction. Because conviction is where you get off track and you might not know it. And immediately, the inside of you, if you've ever been convicted, you know what I'm talking about. The inside of you, you feel something. Your heart is smote. And all of a sudden, you feel uneasy. And you know what that is? It's the Holy Spirit. It's bringing conviction. It's bringing conviction in your life because this is what it means. It means to reveal a fault or show one his fault. That's what reproof is. Reproof, in fact, you know, the Bible says, those whom the Lord loves, the Father loves, he chastens. And that if we discipline a child in the natural, how much more will our Father do that for us in the Spirit? It's not done out of anger. When God reproves you, he's not saying, okay, I'm done with you or I'm disappointing you. He's saying, listen, he said, I'm showing you something in your life, a fault that you need to deal with. And he reproves you. And it is painful. I've had many whippings from the Lord. And oh my goodness, they're much worse than what I ever received from my natural parents. But I'm thankful for them. If I had not had conviction in my life, and many of you understand what I'm talking about, it is conviction that has kept us from falling away or from literally destroying our lives. And so the Bible says that the Word of God is profitable when He reproves you. Reproof will save you from a lot of pain in the future, and reproof will make you a better man or a better woman of God. The next thing it says, and over the years, I just kind of lumped these two together. I thought, well, they're the same thing, because we just talked about reproof. The next one is correction. Correction's not reproof. You know, they can tell a pilot that's flying a plane, and he's headed to a destination, and all of a sudden, the control tower will come on and say, you need to correct your plane, because if you don't, it's not going to get where it needs to go. Correction is not God reproving you or disciplining you. It's God realigning you. Sometimes our heart is, yes, I'm going to that destination. This is where God wants me to go. And you're doing it with a pure heart. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will begin to correct. It literally means to redirect. At times it simply means you're off course. And God's saying, I need to redirect you, because if I don't, you're not going to get to where you want to go. And so when God corrects us, it's not reproof. It's not God saying, you know, you got sin in your life, you're messing up, or you're disappointing me. It's God saying, hey, son, daughter, I'm gonna recorrect. I'm going to redirect your course, because you've gotten off course. And no matter how much we love the Lord, how long we've served God, there are times, without us knowing it, that we get off course. We get caught up in pursuing maybe the ministry that God's given us, or the call or the dream that we have. And it's nothing to do with sin. Remember, the scripture says, lay aside every weight and sin. There are some things that God just says, hey, this is going to keep you from where you're going. So the scripture will redirect you. The last one, it says that, and I'm going to break this down into two parts, instruction in righteousness. I'm going to go to the last one first. This is what righteousness is. It's God's character, all right? It's God's standard, and it's God's ways. It literally means the right way. Righteousness is the right way as God interprets it. So when Paul's writing Timothy, he said, one of the things that'll make you wise and profitable with the scripture is that it will bring instruction. This is what instruction means. It means to train and to educate. This is why you need to read the Bible. It's because it's the only way, really, that God can train you and educate you. It doesn't matter what you pursue in life, when you go to college, what degree you're pursuing, whether you're a doctor or a scientist or a physicist or a psychologist, all of them have certain books that you have. If you want to be a physicist, you're not going to sit down in a classroom and look at computer science textbooks. You're going to look at books that deal with that particular category. If you want to be a successful Christian, this is your textbook right here. I'm a firm believer in reading other books. I think you need to study to show yourself approved, and I love to read other books, other Christian books. But never let a book that just another man has written take preeminence over this book. This is the number one book. If I had to get rid of every book of my life except one, this is the one I'm keeping. So the Word of God, when you read it, it will educate you and it will train you. And I like this. This is in the Gospel of John. This verse has been in my spirit for a while. This is in Gospel of John, and this is chapter 14 and verse 26. And this is Jesus speaking. He said, but the Comforter, and then he identifies the Comforter. You know who he says he is? The Holy Ghost. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Here's the Holy Trinity right here. You got the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. This is Jesus. So you got the Holy Ghost, the Father, and Jesus. He said, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father's going to send in my name or in my authority, he's going to teach you. This is why, and I'm getting ready to do a sermon on, probably on a Wednesday night, on the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to really hammer this home. It's very difficult to learn the ways of Christ without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, I'm going away. He said, but when I leave, my Father is going to tell the Holy Ghost to come in my name. In other words, he's going to continue my ministry. The Holy Spirit's not bringing his own ministry. He is going to continue the ministry of Christ. And he said, this is what he's going to do. He's going to teach you all things, and he's going to bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So this is one of the things that happens when you read the Bible. The Holy Spirit will begin to teach you. Remember, it means to educate you and to train you. The Holy Spirit, when you read this book, it's going to begin to teach you, and it's going to bring back to your remembrance the teaching of Jesus Christ. David said this. This book is so valuable, and the devil hates so much. Psalms 119:11. This is what David said. The Word, I've hid it in my heart, so I won't sin against you. Because if you don't value and protect this, the enemy's coming to get it. And this is where in Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower, Jesus said this. He said, the word, the seed is the word. And he said, when it's sown, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to receive it with great joy. But it says the devil immediately comes in and steals the word. You'll never protect what you don't value. And this is why these books lay in people's homes unopened and dusty, because there's no value put on it. And then something happens in their life, or they shipwreck and they go, oh my God, how did this happen? Because you didn't have doctrine. You didn't live in a place to where the Holy Spirit could reprove you. There was no correction in that time in your life when you got off path. You couldn't hear God redirecting you and say, hey, let me correct your course. And he said, there was no instruction. You didn't allow me to train you and educate you. Serving God, listen, from the time you get saved to the time that you die. I got the Holy Ghost when I was 9, and a couple months I'll be 72. I am still learning on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit is teaching me, hallelujah, this word. And there are three ways that the Word of God can get in you. One is the written word that you read. One is the preached word when you hear it preached. And the third is a rhema word. That's where God all of a sudden will just speak to you in your spirit. And he'll say, hey, I'm going to reprove you. I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to correct you. But I'm going to, and I'm going to teach you. This book is your lifeline. And it is profitable. And this is why Paul told Timothy, he says, son, it'll make you wise unto salvation. I love you. I hope this has helped you today. God bless you. We'll see each other next week and we'll break the word open.
For more information about Kent Christmas Ministries International or Regeneration Nashville, go to kentchristmas.org or regenerationnashville.org. And for the latest updates or videos, follow us on Facebook and subscribe to us on YouTube. God bless you.